Well, we're going to conclude our summer series this morning. We've been studying in the book of Proverbs under the theme of seek wisdom. We began with a look at the fact that Proverbs calls us to fear the Lord. And throughout the series, we've been saying that we're really called to pursue wisdom at all costs, to walk in step with the Spirit, living life as the Creator intended us to live. And the question that we've considered and that is constantly before us, day in and day out of our lives, is this: will you follow in the way of folly or wisdom? Another way that Scripture presents that question, and we'll look at that a little bit today, is: are you going to choose life or death? The consequences of our decisions actually lead to life or death. We're constantly faced with decisions. Many are amoral. Do I eat toast or cereal for breakfast? Or, as in this morning, a muffin? Doesn't really matter. I need to eat breakfast. Do I wear a red shirt or a blue one? Or, as in the case of this morning, a polka-dotted one? Doesn't really matter. Do I buy a Ford or a Toyota? Well, some of you will have some opinions on that, but at the end of the day, if I need a truck, I need a truck. Many decisions are moral or value-based. How much should I spend on, well, actually just about any given item? In 1986, Alan and I bought a lot and we built our first home. And it was a constant challenge in the process of building that home because we discovered very early on in the process that just about anything that you could purchase, you know, there was this cost, or you could buy a little bit nicer one for this cost, or a lot nicer one for this cost, right? I mean, even the kitchen tap, there's just a whole variety of things. What's shocking today is to think back to 1986 and to know that we built a 1,200 square foot basement entry level home, 1,270 square foot basement entry level home for $50,000. I couldn't even buy my truck for that today. Well, we could always spend more, that's true. But what's a realistic budget? And are you going to live within that? And then as Christians, people who confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, there's the question of what's an appropriate level of giving in comparison to my income. And we have to think about the fact that a biblical economy would suggest that the more a person makes, the more that they should give. In my message at the end of July on the tongue, we were reminded that we can use words to build people up or to tear them down. The choice of our words lead to life or death. It's somewhat intriguing that the choices in life that lead to death are often so appealing. I love chocolate. Actually, I love just about anything sweet. And the reality is too much of that for too long will lead to premature death. Wisdom. God-given wisdom is the ability or the skill to make choices that lead to life. The verse in our text that I want us to focus on this morning is verse 18 of Proverbs 3. She, that is wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. The biblical motif of the tree of life first appears in the creation story in the book of Genesis. It's there that we're introduced to actually two trees that God plants in the middle of the garden for Adam and Eve to enjoy. There's the tree, I shouldn't say to enjoy, because one had, you couldn't touch it, right? Let me get my story straight. One tree to enjoy, one to avoid. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And isn't it interesting, have you really ever thought about it, that it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were banned from eating from. The one prohibition: do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it is, of course, the tree from which Adam and Eve ate. And I would suggest that we are constantly tempted to eat from it as well. Thinking we know best, we too often discover that we have made choices that lead to death. Having eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God could not tolerate Adam and Eve eating from the tree of life. And it's from that point on in Genesis, right through to the end of Revelation, that salvation history is clear that it is only belief in the redemptive work of Christ that is the only means by which eternal life can be obtained. If Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from which they were banned, it would have symbolized that humankind could have a life of fellowship with God apart from a right relationship with Him. God cannot accept their sinful state. They must not eat of the tree of life, and so an angel guard is posted. We are forever barred from the tree of life in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Well, that biblical motif of the tree of life only surfaces in two other instances in Scripture, in Proverbs and in Revelation. So from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, the right to eat from the tree of life is granted to those from the church in Ephesus who overcome, to those who return to their first love. They will eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. That is, when they enter their eternal state. Then you jump all the way to the final chapter of Revelation. As John shares his vision of heaven, we're told that the tree of life stands on each side of the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God. And the tree of life will bear 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. I don't know about you, but I love summer and the abundant fruit that is available to us, particularly here in British Columbia. Starting with the cherries. Oh man, they're so rich, so good. And now I love peaches. And the peach trees are loaded and you can buy fresh fruit. Can you imagine that if those cherry and peach trees bore their fruit every month and we just eat of them all the time? It'd be wonderful. Well, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do look forward to our eternal reward, to being with Jesus forever in a heavenly environment. And we will there have access to that tree of life and therefore dwell in an eternal state with the Lord. Sin and sickness and sorrow, suffering, all past, all forgotten. That is our blessed hope as Christians. Amen. Well, what about the here and now? This world in which we find ourselves, our day-to-day living. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden is guarded. It's inaccessible. The tree of life in paradise, in heaven, is yet to come. It is in the book of Proverbs that we discover that wisdom is a tree of life. And our text is actually part of a poem on the value of wisdom. It picks up where Brian Cooper left off in his message in chapter 3 of Proverbs early on in the series. And I want to read that text for us this morning. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. The first stanza, verses 13 to 18 in this poem, is addressed to all of us, to humanity in general. The second stanza, verses 19 and 20, refers to the Lord in creation. It is in these verses that we discover that the Lord used wisdom in his creating of the cosmos and, in fact, built wisdom into the very fabric of creation itself. In fact, our understanding out of the book of Proverbs would be that Jesus Christ is the one who is wisdom incarnate. There is wisdom in the created order. The final stanza, verses 19 to 26, are addressed to the son or the daughter of the king. To the son, the daughter of the one who is doing the teaching in the book of Proverbs. And the son or the daughter are encouraged to do everything within their means to acquire wisdom. Because when you live your life on the basis of wisdom, it will go well for you. You will find life. It is back in that first stanza that we discover that wisdom is a tree of life for those who find, acquire, and live according to its virtues. We're told that wisdom is more profitable than riches, than silver or gold. Silver and gold can buy you a house, but it takes wisdom to make it a home. Silver and gold can buy you a luscious meal, but it takes wisdom to turn mealtime into a time of fellowship and blessing. Wisdom, you will remember, is a skill for living. And the beginning of wisdom comes from a relationship with the Lord, who stands behind and within all of his creation. And that relationship is deepened through fearing the Lord, which in part is being a student of his word. And of course, we've been encouraged to be readers of Proverbs this past summer. There's another text that references this choice of between life or death, and it comes from the pen of Moses. You can maybe go there later this afternoon in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and beginning in verses 11 and following. And it's just as the people of Israel are on the brink of entering into the promised land. And Moses is giving his final sermon to the people, and he's concerned for their well-being. And he recognizes that there will be all kinds of temptations when they enter into this promised land, because it is a good land flowing with milk and honey. And in that sermon, Moses lays out so clearly, "See, I am setting before you today blessings and curses. Make sure that you choose life and not death. Because when you choose life, it will go well for you in the land." It's a challenge to live by the word of the Lord, to act according to that which we learn in the word, and we will be wise. And so we discover that wisdom comes not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but from the tree of life. And wisdom, as it is truly incarnated in the person of Jesus Christ, means that it is the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs has taught us, that is the beginning of wisdom. Follow Jesus, and you will be wise. You will gain wisdom with each passing day. And of course, the challenge for us is knowing that in following Jesus, it is a call to self-emptying, to giving of ourselves, to giving up our rights, to doing the things that Christ calls us to do. And for Jesus, it meant that he gave up his very life. And to me, it's an interesting juxtaposition that Jesus was crucified at the hands of men on a cross, a dead tree. No life left in it. Pilate and the Jewish leaders thought they would snuff out Jesus' life on the cross. But his death really becomes the gateway for our life. And so the cross, in a sense, becomes another symbol of a tree of life in Scripture, although it's never referred to as such. But as Christ gives his life, dying in our place for our sin, we find freedom, forgiveness, wholeness, an eternal future that is secure. We find the way to life and life eternal. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the cross that is the path to eternal life. It is the way of wisdom. It is the way of God's wisdom. And it's one of the reasons why on a regular basis we come and gather at the Lord's table. The elements, the symbols that we partake of, reminding us that Christ shed his blood, gave his very body to be broken so that we could have life and life eternal. And so as we partake of communion this morning, I challenge each of us to make a commitment to demonstrate our gratitude to God for the gift of his son Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again so that we might have eternal life. And I'd suggest that our demonstration of gratitude will be that, an openness to the Word of God, allowing God's word to shape and mold our actions and character into the likeness of Jesus. Allowing Jesus, by his Spirit, to give us wisdom to make choices that lead to life. As we do, we will experience the fullness of living that comes from living in step with the Creator and the Sustainer of our lives. Seek wisdom, and you too will be nourished by the tree of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.